Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome, friends. It is Unlocked, episode 348, pre-E3 edition. Actually, I guess one of two pre-E3 editions. We got one more show next week before we head down to Los Angeles to see what Microsoft has been cooking up for us. But first, we've got a ton to catch you up on this week, starting with our E3 predictions. A lot of you have been asking for them. When are they coming? Right now, this show. We'll go around. We'll do our usual round robin, three per person. We'll go around the table. And then, of course, we always invite you to keep score and tell us how wrong we were after the fact. That's half the fun, is seeing how few of these we actually get right. But we'll also cover some Xbox E3 rumors as well, plus Bethesda's big Fallout 76 announcement that's got the internet chattering away about that as well. So let's get right to it. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joined by Miranda Sanchez.
Hello.
Alana Pierce.
Hi.
Brandon Tyrell.
Hello.
All right.
Full crew today.
Yeah.
We're all here.
We're back.
3 weeks, I think it's been.
Four well, Musketeers. So
yeah.
back in action. I'm a little sad. Nobody's mentioned this.
I noticed
absolutely
it.
Baller Halo shirt today.
I noticed it. I was going to say, I almost wore a Halo shirt today as well.
Yeah, I dug deep into the closet for this
I'm wearing
one.
A Fallout
so
shirt.
So I noticed your shirt today.
But it was
today.
An accident. Like, this is the second time I've done that where I got here and I was like, obviously I'm going to be talking about Fallout this morning. it's not intentional.
No, I like this one because this is, notice it says Halo 3 Recon, which is the original name of Halo 3 ODST.
Yep.
I can't remember if I got this at Bungie or if they sent it at some point, but it was, and that there was a very brief window.
Like all the marketing material.
It's like, called this. Yeah.
It's like when they make the t-shirts for the NFL team that doesn't win the Super Bowl and they just send them out.
Exactly. I always liked this name better. I always thought Halo Recon. 3 Recon was a better name than Halo 3 ODST.
I don't dislike. Yeah, I don't have strong feelings one way or the other. I like ODST because it does like sort of put that in the forefront. These are orbital drop shock troopers.
Credibility restored.
For whatever reason in my head, Recon makes it sound like it's like a DLC for Halo 3. But that could be because of the psychology of me knowing that ODST is distinct.
Yeah, well, I think
the word like Recon.
The fans knowing like what ODST means and really distinctly, I guess, separates it from just like the original series and stuff. So
it did always, I was always weirded out, or I never understood, I guess, would be the better thing to say that because it's called Halo 3 ODST, but it's set during Halo 2.
Is it called Halo 3 ODST?
Yeah.
I guess I finally have a call it ODST. Yeah.
It's like a prequel.
It's just so strange.
The weird.
Pre-3.
Anyway.
Hey, speaking of fun fact.
Same engine, there are things like that.
Fun fact, the next Halo game that comes out, you also play as an ODST.
True. Fireteam Raven.
Fireteam Raven.
Dave and Buster's this summer.
Pretty cool.
We'll be there.
Play it.
I'm actually really excited about it.
You can make checks payable to Ryan McCaffrey.
Yeah, we're all going.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, absolutely.
Field trip.
Yeah. Okay, let's get rolling here. Let's get to those Xbox E3 predictions. We have the IGN office is so crazy right now. So many projects going on. We actually have a hard out. It's going to be about a 50-minute show today, so I don't want to waste any time than what I've just wasted on a point.
Still wasting
It's never a waste if you're
still
talking
still being wasted.
Talking about Halo.
Xbox E3 predictions. Let's go. We've each got three. I want to go to Miranda first.
Gosh darn it. Okay.
Kick us off. It can be something that you really think is going to happen, something maybe a little more out there, a little crazy. I don't know.
One time I predicted that Scalebound Collector's Edition would come with an actual dragon. We all know how that worked out.
I'm saying gosh darn it because mine, I felt like I tried to do something a little bit more creative because I actually put my predictions in our sheet last and I didn't want to copy anybody. So it's like, all right, gotta.
What's really funny is like I think yours make the most sense from a business standpoint. So
that's kind of where I came from. Yeah. I was like, okay, well, what would they practically want? So my first is some sort of, this is really boring, but potentially kind of cool, a Games Pass and Xbox Live bundle subscription. Like I said, not very exciting, but because they're pushing Games Pass so much and Xbox Live has games with gold, like it just kind of makes sense that they belong together. And it's kind of weird that that doesn't exist already.
Makes a lot of sense.
I can totally see like buy a year of gold, get a year of Game Pass for free.
Like, or even like half a year.
It's a $60 value, but you're already committing to it.
Or even if they don't maybe necessarily stretch it that far, Maybe it's the two of them for $80. Yeah, or like it's just a significant
discount.
That's
what I would think.
Yeah. I thought about that. It's just like then you're introducing different price points, and I'm not sure if that'd be confusing.
I think that's fine. I mean, like a lot of subscription sites have different prices based on like premium access to things. Like I know for sure, like with anime Crunchyroll, they have a premium membership, which gets you not only all their anime, but also their manga and live action stuff they have. So it's
I'm sure gamers are used to that too. You know?
Yeah.
Gold editions and digital deluxe editions.
Or like Hulu without like ads or whatever. It's like there's a lot of that already in the marketplace. So does it, like they could do it too. Yeah. Microsoft could do it. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I'd be interested in that.
It's solid one.
And we talk about it a lot. We've seen it time and again. Microsoft continues to do very just gamer-friendly, service-oriented things that this prediction would not surprise me in the slightest. It'd be right up their alley.
Especially because the last couple of years, I think they've done like price reductions and stuff during E3, like announcing it. Did the S drop in price last year, or was that 2 years ago?
I don't know if that was during E3.
Anyway, I doubt that we're going to see a 1X price drop less than a year out from launch. So,
yeah,
I mean, this
too.
Would make sense. Like, like bundling whatever services they can. Yeah.
Yeah, service announcement or like upgrades or peripherals. There's going to be something like that. So I figured this could be a good one.
Yeah, last year we got original Xbox backwards compatibility was just sort of slipped in there.
By the way,
the Xbox One X,
super cool thing. Yeah.
One of us predicted that. I don't remember who it was, but this the last 2 years, this just made me realize with Miranda coming up with this one, it's more of a service. The last 2 years that we've done this, I'm pretty sure that I predicted VR for Xbox. This is the first year I'm not doing it. I'm like, you know what?
So
I've given up.
So now it's going
to
happen.
That's really funny because when I was trying to think of mine, I was like, I bet this is the year that they just doubled down.
I keep being
HoloLens,
like, okay, Oculus tie-in.
Xbox VR, yeah.
I don't think they will yet.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's that Todd Howard quote from the Scorpio reveal where he says it's like the best place to run like Fallout VR or something like that. And I'm just like, wait, what? And I'm still holding on to that quote.
At this point,
and
hook
comes from off stage. And just
they've sat on the sidelines with it. And I don't say that in any sort of
negative way.
I think they've been smart with it, honestly.
Yeah. And that's exactly my point is I feel like now that they've sort of been hanging back this long, if they're going to do it, I would rather it be like a next generation Xbox thing where we can get a wireless improved, like just next generation version of VR in addition to the console.
My guess is that they will try to take on Vive in a way that's like, you have to think about it's Microsoft making VR. It's not Xbox making VR. Mm-hmm. It's Microsoft making a Windows 10 VR platform. Yeah. And that's a huge deal to them. So it's got to be something that would tie in with both, not just one, which I think is crazy impressive if it works on both. But that's really difficult,
totally
too.
Agree.
And they got to wait until all that tech is basically ready. And I can understand why for console hardware, they would need to wait until next gen for it to be both PC and console compatible.
All right. Well, Alana, if you're not predicting
actual
VR this year, give us your first actual prediction.
All right. My first actual prediction is the only one I think that's like super safe, which is New Splinter Cell.
Doubling down. I like
doubling
that.
Down.
Pushing your chip to the middle of the table on that one.
So we've already had this conversation. It's an In-N-Out bet. I think
it's
being...
In-N-Out? I thought it was pizza, but okay. Either way.
Either?
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Pizza
okay.
In-N-Out.
Together?
We'll put one on top of the other.
Yes, I like
it.
Yes. An In-N-Out
style.
Pizza.
Yeah, that's pizza style.
So I think it's going to be announced on Microsoft stage at E3. I threw in out early 2019 to make it a little bit more difficult because this seems really likely to me.
Yeah. I want you to be right so badly on this.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm not 100% though.
I've just built a wall around my heart with that topic. I can't believe it.
I get it.
Like if it happens, then we'll Mr. Gorbachev tear down this wall around my heart. But for now I can't, I can't go there.
I don't think it'll be an exclusive.
No, it definitely wouldn't.
I don't
be.
Think
there's
be
just no way.
Unless I guess Microsoft paid them a lot of money for it, but I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, so.
Oh,
we'll see.
I mean, I would add to it, but yeah, I totally don't think it'll be an exclusive. If anything, I mean, Splinter Cell does have a history with, you know, Microsoft consoles, so I would imagine a marketing deal is probably a shoo-in in that regard, but
look how far, I don't know if the term is, if it's better to say how far we've fallen. Or maybe it's the opposite. Like maybe it's, I don't know.
How far we've risen?
We've gone from third-party exclusive game deals being like a pretty normal thing to now we're sitting here on a regular basis talking about who's got the marketing deal. Like how dumb is that in the grand scheme of things, right?
It's kind
of
goofy.
It really is. Like it's ridiculous. Although, but it does work.
The Call of Duty one kills.
Oh my god, it definitely works. People think that games are exclusives. Like so many people thought Resident Evil 7 was a PlayStation exclusive.
Destiny as well was, I think, a big high profile one. It's
Call of Duty has like a month exclusive on PS4 for DLC.
As it used to have on Xbox.
Yeah.
Kills me every time.
So weird.
It is really silly.
All right. What was the last big third-party exclusive? I mean, the first one that comes to mind is Bloodborne.
I mean, Sony continues to have them primarily because of Japanese game developers and the Xbox is, you know.
So FromSoft.
You know, Nioh.
That's a big one.
Persona 5 were two huge ones last year.
Yeah, I guess.
For PlayStation.
Detroit as well.
I mean, that's a first-party game.
That is first-party,
Well, situation. I don't know if they are first-party. I don't think
Detroit's
they are.
Detroit's second. It's a
second-party, yeah.
Second-party.
Yeah.
That's a different
the
different
rare second-party.
Yeah. I mean.
Insomniac?
Yeah, Sunset Overdrive is probably the.
Lippin?
Yeah, which is. That's like kind of a second party.
They're totally second party. Yeah, they're not owned. So it's interesting they went from Xbox exclusive to PlayStation exclusive.
It is still a
free agent. Do what they want.
I guess the difference
is still doing Oculus exclusive stuff too. So
are they?
It is a third. Sunset is kind of a third party exclusive, except we call it second party because Microsoft published it.
Yeah.
The same way that Sony publishes David Cage's Quantic Dreams games.
Yeah, my understanding of second party was always like
Raider's the last one. Rise of the Tomb Raider.
You're not owned by them, but
that's an actual third party.
Yeah,
Square published it.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Anyway, there we go. We did it. give me a prediction.
Well, this one is pretty much the the one everyone's expecting. So I don't know how out on a limb I'm going here, but I think this is the year. I think this is the year we finally get that sexy CGI Halo 6 reveal.
It's like Master Chief in a bikini.
Yeah, totally. And he's like looking over the shoulder like he's got a secret, you know? No, I think this is it. I think this is the year we see Halo 6. We're going to get that CGI teaser.
I hope so.
God, I hope it's not him in a cloak walking through the desert
I would be so excited if he was in another cloak,
potato sack.
I do think that Microsoft is not unaware that people are expecting Halo this year. So I'm expecting a forest and then, the moonlight. And then you just see Master Chief's helmet come into view. Like it'll be a surprise, but I think we're going to see the CGI trailer. And I think it's going to be followed up by what they did a few years ago, which is have someone from 343 come out and just set the tone, set the mood for it. Like
I think it'll be Bonnie Ross, of course. Sure.
Bonnie Ross, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they'll come out and they'll talk about it. And I'm going to go one step further, and I think it's going to be very, very Chief focused.
They have to.
Yeah, I think they're gonna walk back the whole Locke.
Why is that? Yeah, why would that possibly be the case?
I don't know, just a
feeling that I have.
I'm sure there'll be a teaser. Like, I don't think that's unreasonable, but I don't know that we'll get a huge deep dive into it.
No, I don't think so. I think she'll come out and she'll be like, "You are the Master Chief,"
Or she'll say something about we listened to our fans.
Yeah,
we heard what you wanted.
It'll be fan servicey, but it'll be a tone piece for sure. They'll set the story. They're not gonna give anything away other than you'll play as Master Chief. You'll be fighting the Covenant. There might be a flood, something like that. That's
spooky.
Again, not super dangerous. But I do think this is the year, which maybe not be as safe as I think, because I think I've predicted Halo 6 last year as well.
It seems likely. Just solid singles. We're just playing for base hits now, in the first round. Just put the ball in
this
play.
This is just money ball right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna say something that we've talked about before, but I do think in the spirit of previous discussions of this is the year Microsoft has to empty their chamber.
Whole salvo. Yeah,
it doesn't matter how far out a project is. The narrative has to be turned around, and E3 is the place to.
I haven't even said it yet, and I'm smiling.
Yeah, you're ready. You know what I'm gonna say, and that is I do think the Playground Fable, whether it's Fable 4 or Reboot, I think Reboot.
I think Reboot.
I think I want Reboot as well.
I'm down for Reboot.
I think it'll get just music, logo fade in that tells us Fable as opposed to Fable 4, Playground logo, and then either 2019 or just probably not even a date.
Yeah,
at all.
I don't think.
But I do think we will. It'll get the teasiest of teasy teasers.
I think they're going to lean, if this happens. And this is just what's going on in my head. I think we're going to get that fairy tale music, and it'll be a sweeping shot of Albion, and then it'll be doo-doo-doo-doo.
They'll show one of the seals. Fable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The color
and then maybe they'll show a character. Chickens. They'll show a character resembling the boy or a very Fable-esque character, and then that'll be it.
Oh, Jack of Blades.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Just a straight reboot.
I put in a bonus that I cry when Ryan is correct about a Fable teaser. I cried at Beyond Good and Evil 2 last year. There's usually one game that makes me cry, and this year it would be Fable.
So we need to make sure to sit next to each other in our war room this year.
Yeah. I cried even on the live show after the Ubisoft press conference while we were talking about Beyond Good and Evil. Yeah. So it's like, if it's on it, I'll cry.
The last time that I got like super crazy at an announcement was, I mean, it was Keza McDonald and I were sitting, and we were both freaking out when EA did announce Mirror's Edge. Yes.
Yeah.
I
didn't end up playing that.
It's fine.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's what
it
I
exists.
It's fine. I reviewed it. It's fine. Anyway.
Yeah.
Parkour.
All right. In the spirit of round robin, I will continue here. My second prediction, I mean, Ori 2, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, that's saying it's going to be there is not a prediction at all. But my prediction is I think we'll get the release date, and I think that release date will be sometime in the month of August.
I like that.
That game, to me, it would not be a good idea, probably, to release it in the actual fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. It's also sounding like first quarter of next year is not really going to be safe either.
No, you're totally right. I know, and yes, I know that Microsoft slash the Cuphead team, the Studio MDHR, did release Cuphead in September, and it did extraordinarily well. But I do think Ori and the Will of the Wisps will be obviously shown, but I think we'll get a date, and I think that date...
We've already got Spider-Man and Tomb Raider in September this year as well. I don't know if we have anything major in August. So it would be safe.
I don't think anything's been locked in for August.
There are things in August, but I don't remember what they are right now.
Okay. That seems promising.
There's something there.
There's my base hit, my playing for a single prediction.
Real quick, before we continue, I've got to say that the podcast is feeling more like a real show than ever because I'm actually going to do a live read on a sponsorship right now. This is for our male listeners, and it's brought to you by 4hims.com. A not-so-fun fact, 2/3 of men experience hair loss by age 35. Unfortunately, by the time a lot of guys notice, it's usually too late. So if things are getting a bit thin up top, or that hairline is a little farther away than it used to be, or maybe you've even seen bald spots popping up, you have the power to do something about it. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. ForHims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness that connects you with real doctors for medical-grade solutions for problems that maybe you're too embarrassed about to handle in person. No waiting room, no doctor visits, no snake oil pills or supplements they sell behind the counter at gas stations. These are prescription solutions backed by actual science. It's easy. You visit 4hims.com, answer a few questions, a doctor will review and can prescribe accordingly, and products are shipped directly to your door. While supplies last, Unlocked listeners can get a trial month for just $5 when they head to 4hims.com/podcastunlocked. This would cost hundreds of dollars from a doctor or pharmacy, so $5 for your first month is a steal. Again, that's forhims.com/podcastunlocked. Thanks, now back to the show.
Alana?
Okay, my next one is ridiculous, but we're all talking about teases, right? So this is my Perfect Dark tease that's like a pre-tease, is that there is going to be Joanna Dark added as a playable character in Gears 4 multiplayer.
That would be cool.
So specific.
It's very unlikely, but my logic is like I don't think they're ready to tease a new Perfect Dark yet. We'll get the teaser next year. This is the pre-thing like what happened with Splinter Cell. So it's like, you know, oh, but there's content for her.
Right.
She must be doing something to do with Perfect Dark. So, yeah, I'm totally going to play as her. And
I could see that.
I feel like it could work.
That could totally work. Mm-hmm.
I think like the character models wouldn't be too dissimilar to Kate Diaz, but they got to put that chunky armor on and that could be hard, but...
Well, and wasn't... There was that rumor we talked about.
About it being the Coalition.
That the Coalition was involved, right?
In Perfect Dark and something.
Oh.
That's why, yeah.
That could totally put those two two together.
Seems very unlikely, but it'd be cool.
Maybe.
I like that.
Thank you.
Have a little fun here.
I feel like this is just your like dream wish for cosplay
pretty much.
Right now. You're like, I already have my costume
on. Oh, but she could also have like the cog armor? Uh-huh. Yes. Also that.
You've already done the cog armor, so.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Miranda. Prediction number two.
I got another boring one, but it's practical and it's what I want.
Okay.
So I would say Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 remix bundle comes to Xbox One because we're getting Kingdom Hearts 3 on Xbox.
Makes a ton of sense.
Okay, but the thing is, the Kingdom Hearts franchise has never been friendly to it's never been accessible is an issue, right? There's so many different versions of Kingdom Hearts on so many different things at this point that it doesn't seem like a goal for Square to make them all available on everything.
Maybe. I mean, the PS4 has the bundle already, so it wouldn't make it, like, they could potentially do that on the Xbox.
That was last
year,
right?
I think so.
Yeah, before maybe. I think Jonathan Ruby.
I don't remember. They all board together.
It sounds like free money for Square.
Yeah, and honestly, like, why not give this audience that chance too? Like, I know probably a lot of people also had PS2s or whatever when it came out, or maybe not. And maybe you're interested in Kingdom Hearts and never had the chance to play it for some reason, and this could be a really awesome opportunity for that.
It would be cool. I just don't trust it.
And we know Square.
Oh, I mean, this is just why hasn't this happened? Like, that'd be really smart.
We know Square has a conference this year, so.
Yeah.
We do.
So it could be at Square, it could be at Xbox.
And if, everybody is expecting the release date for Kingdom Hearts 3 to be announced at Square's E3 conference, it's probably going to be this fall. Everybody's expecting. So why not this reissue bundle in the summer when everything's quiet, like July?
It's like catch up now. It's going to take a few minutes, but go for
it. That'd be a cool one to be like, and it's out in June.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be so nice.
I 100% believe that like during the conference, this will be like announcement 2 or 3, and everyone's going to be like, here it is, Kingdom Hearts, here it is. And it'll be like 1.5, 2.5 on Xbox, and be like, all right, false alarm, everyone. False alarm.
That'd be awesome.
It would be cool.
I really want to replay those, and it'd be really cool to do that on my Xbox.
And they still hold up, too.
And if it's out in June, you have 3 months to get through it before it comes out in fall.
And I saw some people saying, like, you could totally just jump in right into Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm just like, good luck.
I don't know. I imagine them making
three. I mean, you could jump into it, but I think you'd miss a lot of the heart.
Shoot Jonathan Dornbusch a tweet. He'll fill you in.
Oh, we'll have like plenty of like explainer pieces and roundups of like everything that happened.
No, I meant Jonathan will go to their house.
Oh, that's true. We will send Jonathan Dornbusch to your
house.
He'll
bring a whiteboard.
What if he's already knocking on people's doors like a Mormon? He's just like, excuse me.
Do you have a moment to talk about the good news?
Well, like the end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, where they actually visit their trolls door to door.
Are you XX Legolas 420 XX?
So that'd be a nice thing to have. A good announcement.
That would be good.
Not crazy, but just nice.
I think that's good, solid, safe.
Brandon,
another dollar bill.
What have you got for us?
Mine is not so solid and safe. So
I like that. Good.
I think. Come on. So the first part is. So my second prediction is that this is the year that Crackdown 3 gets a re-reveal trailer.
I hope so,
because it has been missing in action for quite a while.
Full year.
Yeah.
One full year.
So
last E3.
I think maybe, I mean, I shared my thoughts on it when we played it at E3 last year. I thought it looked a little dated. I didn't have a bunch of fun with it, but I knew, there's still time to develop it. So I think they just went dark and started working on it. And I think this is the year we get that re-reveal trailer. The second part is what I think is a little more out on a limb here, which is that I think we also, with that re-reveal trailer, we get a release date for 2019. Mm. And I put down spring or summer. The more I think about it, I think spring would be not such a great idea, but maybe next summer, next June.
Wow, that far out, huh?
Yeah, I don't think it's – I imagine that it's not ready yet. Knowing that once October hits, you essentially have no room until next March.
Well, if you're right, and it is something after spring, I don't think they would say that at E3 because that's so broad. I think they would just say 2019.
You think?
Yeah. They'll just say, they'd just leave it at that.
Man, but that game's been delayed so many times.
It has.
Technically, that has to be a very difficult game to make.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fact that and it's running on an engine that we heard had trouble with open worlds before, but it's also just like everything being destructible that's technically a very difficult game.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like, and correct me if I'm wrong, if there's new information that counteracts this, but from what I understand, the destructive sort of cloud-based stuff was all going to be running like online, right?
Yes,
so
correct.
A single player version of it that did not include that.
Mm-hmm. Or at least not to nearly the same degree.
Right, right. I mean, when we first saw it 2 or 3 years ago, Destin was like, an entire skyscraper came down in 10 million pieces.
Yeah.
I think they're doubling down on that, and I think that's going to be a big part of the re-reveal trailer. I'd be really curious to see how they message it, though.
Yeah, it would be – because that was the big question that everybody was asking after it was shown and it was playable behind closed doors last year was, where'd the destructibility go?
Yeah.
And they'd given Microsoft, and I think even Phil, when I sat down with them, was like, we showed that at Gamescom, whatever, a couple years ago. So now we're showing single player stuff.
Did you know Dustin played it at Gamescom?
Really?
Yeah.
No
way. Dustin played it at Gamescom.
Oh, I'd never heard
like
that
several
before.
Years ago.
Huh.
He's not here, so I thought I'd do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Spirit of Destin.
The Spirit of Destin sounds like a great Halo ship.
It's just any time that we'd ever talk about Crackdown and be like, hey, did I tell you guys that I played it? And we're like, yeah, wow, really?
Hi, Destin Gary. Yeah. It's business card.
Yeah, you know, you raise an interesting point, which will dovetail into my third prediction coming up. But
thank you.
Yeah, and that's the idea of, like, you know, Microsoft has always, at least it's in the last number of years, they've dropped pretty much all, or they've dropped almost all of their first party games in Q4. Mm. Sony has shown you don't need to do that to have
Sony and Nintendo
success. And Nintendo. Absolutely. And it seems like maybe Microsoft is starting to realize that as well. Cause I mean, we had the very successful launch of State of Decay 2,
mm-hmm.
Which just happened. And then, and Sea of Thieves before that, which has, you know, a lot of players on it. And it's, which has got a big content update.
Yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. Which you and I
streamed. Ohana Shark.
So, maybe we will see a year here where there isn't a huge October or November Q4 game for Microsoft and that they just spread everything out. Which they've never really done before.
Mm-hmm.
If there were, what do you think it would be?
Well, here? I mean, the default assumption would be Halo, but I think, are we on to round three here?
I think so.
We're jumping
ahead. Good segue into yours.
Yeah, I do think Halo is not going to come out this year, but I think they will date it for, they'll give an exact date of sometime in early or spring 2019.
Which is insane to me because Q1 is already so loaded with, you know, potential titles and not just games, but games as service games, you know?
But I think I think they maybe have needed some more time to sort of figure out what they're going to do with the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that
I don't see it coming out this year.
There's just too, I think they'd be doing themselves a disservice, but not saying Halo 6 won't be awesome, because I certainly hope it will be, and it is a very big deal. But you've got Battlefield 5, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which is the biggest of the Call of Duty sub-brands, and Red Dead. Like, it all clustered together there.
Pokemon. I mean,
why? And those are all multi-platform games. Mm-hmm. To put a single platform Halo 6 out there, I feel like you're just limiting your potential in financial.
I think marketing experts would agree with you on that.
I'm not a marketing expert, but it just seems like, why not just push it? Make it
its own event.
Make Halo its own big thing in early March 2019.
Yeah.
I love those releases. Like, honestly, it's just such a refreshing thing to see big titles come out, like, spread out over the year.
I love January releases.
Yeah, it's like, January releases. There's not a lot coming out. Like, the year's starting off, it's a little slow. And
Dying
then I
Light
get to,
says hi.
Yeah, really get to dive into something, and it's awesome.
Love it.
And Sea of Thieves. That was always
I forgot Monster Hunter World came out this year.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, you put, like, 100 hours in that.
So we'll see. All right. Alana.
Yes.
Final prediction for E3 2018.
Speaking of Halo, Halo 5 Battle Royale mode revealed. That's
Halo 5?
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. They're still supporting
So like a free separate
Esports
Battle Royale thing built off of Halo?
No, I think it's a multiplayer mode.
Within Halo
I'm sure you'd need to download an update for it.
Of course.
But I think that it is a mode, not a separate release.
Ooh, that's really
interesting. And not just a part of Halo 6, you think? It'll actually be a...
No, I think that they'll continue trying to promote Halo 5 by doing this. Like, we still want people to play it online. This is part of Halo 5.
I think that's really smart because that fills the Halo gap until next year when 6 theoretically...
You mean the arcade game's not enough for you? Come on.
I mean, look, Dave and Buster's, the ball's in your court right now. We're waiting. But that's really smart because it cashes in on the zeitgeist of the Battle Royale mode
right now. Needs to be right now.
Yep. It fills that gap of Halo that we're not going to get this year. And it gives Microsoft something new to give out, like, immediately. Like, so I imagine, you know, it's developing is not going to be easy, but I imagine if they've been working on it, it's not as time intensive as a brand new standalone Halo thing.
No, well, from devs that I've spoken to about this, apparently making a battle royale is actually relatively easy in the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. in that you don't really have to balance the map. It just has to be huge and things can spawn randomly. So you don't have to, it's not that difficult in terms of fine tuning.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And I think that that's one thing that we should be considering with Battle Royale, which I find kind of odd, is that people are like, oh, it's another Battle Royale game, but it's like, every game has a King of the Hill. Like, every game has a Capture the Flag. How is this any different? It's just another multiplayer mode.
Yeah.
That I think Halo do really well.
As long as it's a mode, yeah. I think where people are getting hung up is like, that's all Fortnite Battle Royale is. That's all what PUBG is. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Fortnite has a whole other mode to it.
Oh, I know. I reviewed it. Yeah. No, I mean, Fortnite Battle Royale, the multiplayer mode. Because let's face it, like, what's the division
of... Save the world.
Yeah, what's the division of the player base there?
Right.
It's 98% to 2%, right?
Yeah, and I get it with PUBG being like, well, this is just one standalone thing. Mm-hmm. But I think if it starts becoming a multiplayer mode, as it is with Call of Duty, as I think would do great in Halo,
I mean, it's exciting to see how different companies tackle the Battle Royale like mode as well. Just like how they want to put their own touch on it. It's like, what's different and why is the incentive there for us to play it?
Yeah.
I think with Halo 5, if it were there, then a lot of us already own it. So it'd just be like, oh, just update this and jump in and see how it goes.
The alternative is Gears, because they've been supporting. I just don't think Gears could handle it. I don't
the fidelity
think,
in the map size?
Yeah.
Yeah, Halo, I was going to say, already has is used
Big
to huge
packs.
Maps.
Yeah.
Vehicles all over the place.
PUBG win a Banshee. Like, that's insane.
I guess the one thing I would wonder about, but I'm not a game designer, I'm sure 343 had figured out, would be the TTK in Halo is pretty high.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the matches might go on for a while.
Could do.
Maybe you're all ODSTs in the Battle Royale mode, so you have you have less shields or something that. I don't know if
there's a lot of ways to workshop this.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I mean, Halo's been known for pickups forever. Like, you grab the overshield, or you get the if they bring back armor abilities, right?
Or it's SWAT rules. There's no shields. One shot to the head, couple to the body.
But then I don't think so.
I mean,
dude.
You have to have a little time.
A battle royale SWAT mode.
I think someone getting DMR'd from across the map is just going to piss people off.
It would be pretty great if you could have custom maps
if there's a spot
in your battle royale.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure
that. So that you could do that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I think, like, it, from what I want from the standard, it should feel like Halo. And I think you're right that maybe there would be just higher damage. Everyone deals higher damage.
Yeah, I'm being
the
reminded.
Idea of someone getting the energy sword or a gravity hammer like in a battle royale, and then it becomes like the man with the golden gun.
Right.
It's like move over Thanos in Fortnite. Like that's so cool, and everyone's just gonna be like, "We need the energy
sword."
I don't even know
rocket
about
launches.
That. I think like having a melee weapon in a battle royale mode like Halo, that would just be a death sentence. I think the guy who gets the sniper rifle is like, the one-eyed man
launcher.
Is the
king. The rocket launcher for sure.
Forge World comes to mind as some massive space that we've already seen in the Halo universe. So could it even be the beta for Halo 5 Battle Royale is available right now?
Yeah.
Play the beta right now.
That's a great point. I think they put in the structure and the skeleton to do Battle Royale modes and then let you make your maps in Forge.
Ooh.
I could see them doing that for sure. And this seems like a thing that could translate really well into Halo 6. Is again, just another new game mode. And now I'm really excited about
it. I'm so excited I hit the mic. Now I'm excited for a new Halo multiplayer suite. Like, this is going to be a good year.
You did it. Who's pretty left? Fine.
It's me.
Miranda.
I got one
and
more,
Miranda.
Too.
And you.
Oh, good. Okay.
And Miranda.
Okay, I'll go. So this last one, I wanted to do something fun. A little, but then I was like, but what if I play it safe too? So I'm going to play it safe. Answer would be some sort of DC hero game, probably from Rocksteady, because we know they're working on something.
Yeah.
Potentially Superman. Who really knows?
So on the Microsoft stage.
Yeah, so like something to counter the whole Spider-Man thing.
Right,
like,
that would
you
make
guys
a ton
get
of sense.
Marvel, we get DC kind of thing.
Hmm.
And just seeing how that plays out potentially, because that'd be cool to see.
I definitely want that.
Yeah, it's been a few years since we've had something big from Rocksteady. So
2 years ago,
2015 they had their game, and 2016 was Arkham VR.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was clearly just like a side project.
Yeah,
3 years proper.
Yeah,
for the team. So.
They could announce something soon.
It is time.
If not this year, probably next year, I'd assume.
Would love to see
that's
that.
That's a safe one. So.
Excellent.
I would totally get behind a Superman game. I think
Ren,
that's awesome.
Take us home,
as long as it's not Aquaman. So my last one, I feel like is also fairly safe, but. So I think, we all saw that news story where due to a job posting, we know that Microsoft is ramping up a Santa Monica studio for, quote, quadruple A game development.
Daryl Gallagher, former Crystal Dynamics studio head.
Yep, is working on the Microsoft executive team. We imagine that he might be, you know, in a leadership role in that studio. But I think that with the narrative going on over the last couple of years where, you know, where are the games, you know, yeah, you have things we've been seeing recently, right? Which is, yeah, you have Sea of Thieves. Yeah, you have State of Decay, but like, where's your Last of Us? Where's your, you know, Bloodborne? Where's your other,
yeah,
insert Sony exclusive? I think this is Microsoft's answer to that. I mean, I think they've been talking a lot about the gamer is still super important to the, you know, the Microsoft family. And I think this is we're going to get a segment where maybe Daryl Gallagher comes out, maybe Phil, maybe somebody else from the executive team comes out and says, we're putting together a team, you know, essentially for, you know, to use a cliche term now. He comes out and he says Santa Monica will be
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. Sam Jackson comes out.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these MF in comments.
We're mixing.
Oh, we're mixing all of them.
Yeah. Movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too much.
I think he comes out and I think that he says this is the, you know, the Quad A studio that's going to be delivering those experiences that people are looking forward to. I think they say the exclusives are coming. The core gamer is super important to us. And you can expect, you know, the level of quality and polish that you've come to expect from Microsoft moving forward. And I don't think they tease a game or anything. I think it's...
It showed concept up and not much else. Like even
like how EA did for a little while there on their stage with what is now Anthem. Remember the Anthem teaser?
Oh, yeah. Right. Like it was like the, hey, we're working on something.
Yeah.
We got all our studios working on things.
It was, they did that with Star Wars as
yeah.
well, right?
It was like pretty much a Star Wars reel of
we're
like,
working.
We're working on a bunch of things.
I'm drawing on a tablet. Yeah. Is it
There's
Wookie?
A photo of Mitchie D was in water.
Mitchie D was in that video.
Well, Mitch.
R.I.P.
Rip Mitch. Yeah, I think they come out and they say, hey, we have a team together. We're going to be making these games for you. Exclusives are coming. If they date it, I don't think they will. I think it's so far out.
If it's something like that.
Yeah, I mean, earliest we see anything from them is 2020, I want to say, but so I don't think they'll date it. Having said that, PlayStation's playbook has been to announce games 3, sometimes 4 years before they're released. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look at Kojima, right? Like
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding's got
but I Final think Fantasy VII Remake.
They got huge marketing pushes before that game even had
but
an
But I think
engine.
Those are the studio's choices rather than PlayStation's choices.
Sure, that's fine. I just mean, like, that is definitely a feather in that cap. And, you know, that marketing playbook has shown in the over the past half decade to work, right? Like, people are excited for years and years and years to play this game that they saw.
Right. I mean, like, you have to have the right name, the right studio behind it, right? Like, Kojima has a lot of power just on his own.
And also, every trailer is really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like,
well,
there's.
I mean, look at God of War as well. And
you could do it.
Last of Us Part 2.
Well, I didn't care about God of War until people started actually playing it.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't care at all.
As soon as I saw Kratos step out, I was like, yep, I'm going to play that game. Like, and like, I, you know, I'm living proof that like that works. That that marketing strategy works.
So one thing. How many unannounced games do you think we will see that are even going to be on current gen? Halo 6, sure.
For Microsoft's conference?
Yeah. How many more current gen games do we have left in this cycle?
Horizon 4. I mean, I think we have a while. Horizon 4, Halo 6, correct?
Yeah, the inevitable Forza. What is, if it's not Forza, I mean, Horizon 4, it's Forza something.
Forza goes without saying too. And like, I think Halo will be as well. We'll still have Forza every year, so that's like almost guaranteed. But I mean, like, in terms of like new announcements, things we aren't necessarily anticipating. Like
new IP or just like sequels?
I think Fable's a next gen game.
Me too.
Whatever this studio
is. The next Gears is going to be on this.
I would think if Perfect Dark's a thing, that's the next gen game.
Yep.
Splinter Cell's probably current gen.
Yeah.
Ubisoft would bring that out. Yeah, next year. But I mean, that there's not going to be many more. If it's 2 years away.
Is it though?
No, is it 2 years away?
That's the latest.
I mean, we're opening up that whole can of worms about the structure of console deployment.
Yeah. Well, they're all going to work on the existing Xbox, we know that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just, but they're going to be hopefully built to be tailored for
yeah.
a next generation.
Which is, it's just weird to think about. That
it is. Yeah.
It scares me.
Just,
it's like 2020 sounds so far away, but it's actually not.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't like it.
I've had my 1X for 8 months. Like, no. I'm not ready for a new Microsoft console.
Oh, you got yours early.
It's 7 months, 6 months. I'm bad at math, Ryan. you know, we got it, you know, at the end of last year, and God, yeah, it has only been like 6 months, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. 6 months.
Jeez. Yeah,
it's weird.
So like, I'm not ready for a new Microsoft console.
I don't feel like I am yet either, but
I feel like maybe they start like the S becomes the base model, the 1X.
That already happened. They already discontinued the the OG.
Which is actually a good point. That kind of means we're already on a new generation of consoles.
Well, yeah, that's the whole like mid-cycle upgrade.
Similar.
Yeah. That's the whole mid-cycle upgrade conversation, right? Yeah. Like, do they adopt Apple's iPhone and iPhone S every year or every other year, right? Or do they stick to the 5 to 7 to 10 year plan?
That's interesting.
I mean, I think yes, but on a longer timeline, maybe every 3 years. So, you know, Xbox One X, and then maybe 2021 next gen Xbox. 2024 is the Y
upgrade. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be curious. I just hope that with the release of the PlayStation 5, you know, that big news cycle is coming out about how the PlayStation 4 is nearing the end of its life. I'm really hoping like that doesn't drive the narrative for the next 3 years about how, well, what's Microsoft's answer to the PlayStation 5, you know? So I'll be curious.
They need to get out at the same time or first, in my humble opinion. But that's a topic for a different show.
Sure is.
Yeah, we got 10 minutes
2 years
left.
Away.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, we're down to 10 minutes already. Mm-hmm. So I want to just talk real quick. Let's just address this. This is trending on Reddit. There is a Reddit user by the name of So Meh, M-E-H, who, the reason this user is noteworthy, they correctly called Fallout 76.
How?
Maybe an actual...
He just rolls like a 100-sided
die.
Like
this same person saying now that Microsoft will be announcing a new Gears, Forza Horizon 4, yeah, Halo, and Sunset Overdrive 2. So that's where, you know, we don't take every rumor we hear is with any seriousness, but in this case, this person got a pretty specific thing.
Right
on the money a while ago. So here, the thing that jumps out at me, Sunset Overdrive 2 would be great, maybe, because isn't Insomniac completely tied up with Spider-Man?
Which comes out this year. So if they have two teams, I was thinking about this earlier today, they have two teams doing production on Spider-Man and pre-production on Sunset Overdrive 2.
Right.
Could rotate through if they're mostly doing QA on Spider-Man.
They did have some people on a couple of VR projects.
I think they're still working on VR projects.
They are. Okay. Because three teams.
They have a bunch, honestly.
Who really knows? Yeah.
They work on a lot of Oculus games.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I'm not sure about is like, I don't want to say A team or B team. The team one is clearly on Spider-Man. It's been in development for forever.
Since Sunset.
Team two like work on Sunset 2? Or do you need the talent from one in order to.
Well, again, most of the talent from one isn't going to be still working on Spider-Man because they're mostly doing QA. In this stage of the life, September.
Well, yeah, early September.
They're mostly going to be doing bug testing. And sure, they'll be doing some other stuff, but
I guess, I mean, I would be thrilled with Sunset Overdrive 2, but honestly, only if it's Insomniac.
Right, I mean, it could also just be an announcement and them not actually have a lot of work done on it yet. Like,
of course.
Production, totally. Like, hey, this is happening.
Yeah, if they're in pre-production phase right now and they announce it and it comes out in 2 years, like, that's totally plausible because as soon as Spider-Man ships, you have a small core team doing upkeep on that and the rest of the team immediately starts working on the other one. Mm.
It's just a thing for me where Sunset was so uniquely great and I would be nervous. I'm not going to write it off, obviously, but I would be very nervous if it were anyone but Insomniac because we've seen a lot of developers make open world games, but Insomniac made Sunset Overdrive's mundane tasks super interesting, which is a problem that I personally have with a lot of open world games.
Yep.
So I don't know who the heck else they could get to do it. Like, who is even out there?
I'm trying to think of games that have locomotion fluid systems as good as Sunset, and I can't.
Hopefully, some way, somehow,
Rocksteady.
If this is true, it is Insomniac.
Yeah, I agree.
But that is a rumor to just put a pin in that for two more weeks, and we'll see if this, so meh.
I really wouldn't have predicted that one. So.
That trailer would be great, too, at the E3 conference.
Mm.
Yeah,
just see like that cartoony, like a pair of punk shoes running across a rooftop,
like a Dead Island 2 style trailer. Yeah, remember that video game that didn't come out?
Oh right. Yeah,
it's a really good trailer.
I wanted that one too.
Let's more or less finish up. Let's talk a little bit about Fallout 76.
Yeah.
That was the big news item this week. Bethesda teasing on Tuesday, a teaser tweet with a Twitch stream with a Pip-Boy in it. And now here we go. Fallout 76. It's not a Fallout 3 remaster, which we thought maybe it was.
It's not Fallout 5.
It's not Fallout 5. It's not Fallout, you know, New Orleans or, you know, the New Vegas type offshoot.
Yeah, it's not Obsidian. It's being made by Bethesda, by the Austin and Maryland studios.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called 76 because it's set in Vault 76, which was what's called a control vault in the Fallout universe. It's like 500 people. And it was one of the ones that wasn't supposed to open until, I think, like 2 decades after the war.
20
and
years, right.
So from what we can tell, there's a date on that that says the 21st of October, 2102, which would mean that it is set
before
any other game. Because I think Fallout 1 is 2160. And it's also an interesting year because the guy who creates the
super mutants
doesn't start doing that until after 2102, meaning that in theory this game won't have any super mutants.
It's a really interesting world of Fallout without super mutants, without its creatures that we all know Fallout for. So
Deathclaws.
And I mean, in this trailer, you only see parts inside the vault.
Yeah, so it's weird because there's not a lot here to tell you about what the game is. Like, there's some cool Easter eggs in here. Like, I think I saw the spaceship from Fallout 3 in there. Like, there's like a model of it or something.
They're definitely leaving the vault. Like, he's putting his Pip-Boy on. They are leaving the vault at this point. Don't know
saying
why.
You'll have to rebuild. And Kotaku super reporter Jason Schreier suggesting that this is a
online
game of some sort.
Most recently said that it's supposed to be similar to DayZ in some way.
A lot of people are thinking like it's a Rust DayZ sort of thing, which I think would be awesome.
Really cool.
Like, I think if you look at the building system that they kind of had the groundwork for in Fallout 4 and them implementing that in some other way, and hopefully fine-tuned and improved, would be just a super fun time.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine just like building up forts with your friends and then going and like finding other people and taking them down.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about super mutants or anything else or like ghouls. It's just a clean slate for you to explore and to adventure and to like create your own stories.
It's super smart.
Tom Marks, I didn't get to ask him why, but he's pretty convinced that it's set in DC.
Yes. I think it's in Fallout 3. If you look at the computer, it shows where Vault 76 is.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
There's a pretty robust wiki about like the history of all the vaults.
I'm familiar with 76 because I played all the Fallout games, but I didn't know it was set.
Right. So like, as it is a control vault, there is no experiments going on here. Like, everyone's just normal people.
Which is very nice.
And rare. Yeah. It's like, there's nothing going on here. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's the vault.
So it's interesting. Like, it's been a minute since we've had like, I mean, you and I used to, years ago, we used to play Rust together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's before we worked here.
Like 2014.
That's when we met.
It's been a minute since we've had like one of those survival-esque games.
I mean, they've been around.
Conan Exiles just came out of early.
Yeah, you're right. Actually,
preview.
I totally forgot about that game.
And Conan's really good. I like it a lot.
I think they kind of fell off a little bit as Battle Royale got popular. And then it'd be kind of cool to see this be that and not a Battle Royale or something weird like that.
Yeah.
Which I don't see how that would work. I don't think it'd be that fun.
I think this is super smart because I think it's like the narrative and the aesthetic of Fallout like fits this style of game perfectly. Mm-hmm. What I'd be disappointed about is if it is like a Rust where you're on your own and just sort of like building a shelter, because that is sort of it flies in the face of like what they were saying, which is you have to rebuild society and this is Reclamation Day and we're coming out of the vault and you know, humanity is back at it. And like to go out there and like, all right, I have to build my shelter and hide from ghouls for like 30 days. I would be a little disappointed with that. But I think Fallout Online as a component to, you know, that storyline, whereas like Elder Scrolls Online is a component to that other franchise, I think that's super duper smart.
It seems better to do this than to do an MMO like ESO.
Yeah,
for sure.
I am really curious
to see like what monsters they'll have in it, since if they won't have super mutants, they'll have ghouls or like whatever else.
A lot of
natural things to worry about.
It is almost definitively not a big like single player. Absolutely. It's not a Fallout 4 type, a traditional Bethesda Game Studios, Todd Howard role-playing game.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Huge demo for that coming up, of course, at Bethesda's E3 conference, along with Rage 2. Like, they're going to have a very interesting conference on their hands.
Yeah, I really do hope we get to see like more gameplay of what this is at the conference.
I would expect
And if
that.
It's out soon, hey,
we also
IGN
know
bringing that back.
One other Ooh. Todd Howard game.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is.
Very interesting E3 for them. Mm. And yeah, if I think the rumblings are that Fallout 76 is out this year, which would just make Q4 insane.
It makes sense for Bethesda and how they release games now.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we're not going to talk about it until we're ready to put it out.
Yeah. I love that they
look at Fallout 4.
Too.
Like, it's out in 6 months. You
yeah,
know?
They did the same with Dishonored and Wolfenstein, and yeah. I really like that.
I saw somebody playing Fallout Shelter on the train yesterday. That was really weird to me.
I like that game.
So
I still play it on planes every now and then.
If Fallout 4 is going to be this multiplayer supplementary kind of content to a regular traditional sort of linear RPG in the Fallout verse, what month does it drop? Because October is Red Dead.
I'll bet it's a November release.
You think? Yeah. It goes up against the first-person shooters?
They,
it is different enough that it'll be a different sort of audience.
It could be okay.
But there's a lot of overlap between, you know, Battlefield COD and, you know, just major franchises.
Well, yeah. The second half of October is a little booked up, but yeah, I can see it being.
Maybe it goes early October.
Game. They tend to do that. Otherwise, August would be good for them too, but I don't know if they'd be ready for that.
And Spider-Man's going to have the last 2 weeks of September, or the last week of September, and the first week of October, yeah.
Getting busy. All right. We are out of time. Those are our E3 predictions and a little more. For this was episode 340. We'll do some trivia next week. Hopefully, we'll
also State of Decay has already sold over 1 million. No, yes. Already has over 1 million plays.
We can talk more about that next week.
I just think it's great.
Yeah, State of Decay 2 off to a great start. Do give it a try if you have not.
And use our wiki.
Heck of a lot of fun.
Please use our wiki.
Miranda worked very hard
so
on it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still working on it.
Plug away.
Go.
Alana, while Brandon.
Well, you pointed and then you moved
over.
Yeah,
then you were going for the drink.
You find me on Twitter. It's just my name, Brandon Tyrell. I've been out for a while, but now I'm back. And so we got a lot of cool stuff coming in the lead up to E3. So
yeah, I don't think any of us can really talk about anything that we're working on.
I can.
Miranda can.
Hello. Please use IGN wikis. We work really hard at them.
I've been using them.
That's my biggest thing. Yeah, we have an updated E3 wiki, so every game that's been confirmed to be playable or some sort of form at E3 is on this massive list that I've been keeping track of. I look every single morning to find new stuff. We have a bunch of rumored games on there as well. And of course, like I said, State of Decay 2. If you guys have any questions, please tweet at me. I'd love to hear what you guys are having issues with or what you want to know more about. I've had a few people do that already, and I'm very happy about that. And we'll try to get in our wiki if we can.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. A bunch of preview embargoes lifted earlier this week. I previewed We Happy Few, which I played at Judge's Week. So if you'd like to hear more about that and how the single player campaign for that is shaping
really
up,
excited about
check
that.
Out my piece on IGN there, as well as it's not Xbox, but I'm going to plug it anyway because I am so head over heels in love with Octopath Traveler for the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I played a new version of that, new build of that recently with one of the next, it's like, I guess, the third announced character of the 8 characters. So please take a look at that preview. Alana.
Yeah, I can't talk about anything that I'm working on.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's mostly all just E3 planning. We got a lot of exciting stuff. I'm doing a ton of research for interviews that I have of games that, I think they're mostly all known about, but sometimes I forget. So I don't know what I'm on NDA of. So I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah,
very much the same. Oh, something I can talk about. I'm reviewing Vampire right now.
And, that looks very cool.
Vampire or vampire?
You know what? Either.
I sure. Think
tomato, tomato.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A don't non game.
I mean, it is. Yeah, spelled with a Y. So they use the word vampire in the game quite often. But can't talk about that at all. But the embargo for that is going to be up on Monday afternoon. So if you're curious about everything going on in that, check it out on Monday.
Sounds good. All right, we got one more show for you before we head off to E3. So we'll see you back here, same time, same place next week. Until then.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.